The original kings of podcasting, starring Mark Chambers and Todd Perry. Episode 10, First World Anarchy.
Welcome back to the OG Kings. Original Kings of Podcasting.
That's right.
Mark Chambers, Todd Perry.
Yes.
Right by where I get off the freeway every day after I come home from work.
Sure.
Is it a Bellflower Boulevard exit?
No. Bellflower Boulevard.
Yeah. they just built something right off the exit.
Sure.
A Golden Corral. Okay.
I've heard this reference just like angrily in the background from you and your wife, and I'm like, what the hell are they talking about?
We are
about?
Very mad about the Golden
Corral.
What
are you talking about?
And in, you ever see these things where like suburban people get really pissed off about developments?
Yes.
And you go, that's just all a bunch of nonsense. It's all just a bunch of NIMBYs getting pissed off.
Yeah.
Well, they built this Golden Corral.
So you're like, let's just blow right past that into a bunch of NIMBYs getting pissed off.
Yeah. I am a NIMBY getting pissed off.
Yes.
I would not think of all things this would be the thing to set me off. But
NIMBY, by the way, not in my backyard is what it stands for.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so there was this piece of vacant land right off the 91 freeway.
Sure.
Now, I'm moving soon, but for the time being, this area was taken up. It was like an old auto dealership.
Sure.
That nobody came in to buy cars from. Nothing happening.
So they just knocked it down.
Knocked it down, and then they built a Golden Corral.
Sounds now, tasty.
Golden Corral is a, what do you call it? It's a buffet.
Yes.
And this buffet, they built a Walmart size. Like a fucking, like a hangar you would film like Close Encounters of the Third Kind in Macon, Georgia. They built a probably 9,000 square foot
buffet restaurant.
Now, I would not have a problem with that. I like a good buffet.
But NIMBY?
Not in my backyard.
Why?
Because the parking around there is the amount of parking that the Staples Center in Los Angeles would need. There is like a parking lot for like 2,000 spots of people just going there just to fucking feast on coconut shrimp. Okay? Now, what used to take me 2 minutes getting off the off-ramp exploded to the point where now I'm on the freeway doing the exit.
Oh, God.
Now it takes me 15 minutes to get off the freeway to get home.
Because of the Golden Corral?
Yes. People be eating. They be eating.
And all like, hours?
And it's not just, they fill the parking lot and then they park all the way around it.
Wow.
And people are driving from everywhere. And I get home during dinner
so
time.
So it's very successful for Golden Corral as a corporation.
Oh, big time.
They're doing gangbusters at this location.
Like Joe Golden Corral that owns the thing.
I just picture Golden Corral, all one word, lowercase c.
Yeah.
Joe Golden Corral.
Joe Mick Golden Corral or whatever.
Yeah.
He is just like walking in and just filling his pants
With his big belt buckle and his cowboy hat.
Just walking into Lakewood going, what do we got here?
Hey, wait. How many people are eating the coconut shrimp tonight?
No. Yeah. I want there to be a line at the Golden Corral, like a club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, from the parking, you would think that there's a guy standing at the door is like, hey, you're not fat enough to eat in here.
I'm quite hungry right now.
As am I.
So this sounds amazing.
We should go.
Yeah.
I would do it if not the fact that the Golden Corral has added another 15 minutes to my commute every day.
You won't give them your money.
I'd like to undermine them.
Okay.
So I've had a lot of time the last couple of days just sitting on the freeway thinking of ways to undermine the Golden Corral.
Sure.
Now we all participate in social media. And at Golden Corral, one of the big things they have is they have like a breaded fish.
Yeah.
That you can eat all you want of.
Yeah.
And I'm all about that.
I can eat all I want of anything they have.
Eat all the fish you like.
Yeah.
You disrupt my commute.
Oh.
You're on my enemies list.
Got it.
So I thought, how do I end this Golden Corral?
Mm.
And I thought, what if I took like a syringe, random syringe, put it in a piece of fish,
oh,
and had a little bit of first world anarchy and undermine the entire place.
So you want to, instead of protesting actively the existence of the Golden Corral.
What am I going to protest?
Possibly.
Do I have a NIMBY protest that nobody gives a shit about?
You go to
if it becomes dangerous?
You go to the city council and you say, this is, you know, we should do a traffic survey. This is causing...
The tax dollars coming into my town are fantastic.
Just
from the Golden Corral.
Cause it problems. So what you're saying is you know that no one in their right mind would actively take a stand against such a great economic benefit.
No.
But you want to bring it down from the inside.
I want to scare the people.
You want to, if you take away their business, they'll have no choice but to shutter.
They'll shut down and then maybe we'll get like a boot barn there.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that.
No one goes to boot barn.
No one's rushing to the boot barn at 7 o'clock at night. They've got their boots already.
They squeak by. Boot barn squeaks by. They're not doing crazy business.
Yeah. They're not shutting down the 91 freeway on my way home from work.
I imagine they run at a 0.5% profit margin.
Yeah.
The boot barn.
So I've had a lot of time just sitting on the freeway finding out ways to undermine the Golden Corral.
So you think you go in, so I'm going to say take me through it, but I'm going to take you through it. What I think you're going to do is you're going to the medical supply and you're buying some syringes.
Yeah, I have some friends that are diabetic.
Oddly available, these syringes. Oddly easy to come by. And then, because it's America, freedom. We eat freedom, you know, at a buffet, at Golden Corral.
And then you get diabetes, which then means you have to use more syringes.
More syringes. Your headphones just fall right out of your ears. It's amazing. And so then you're going to take the syringe and you're going to go to Golden Corral and you're going to surreptitiously, clandestinely insert the syringe into some food and then wait.
And then the moment somebody picks that piece of fish, that piece of cod.
Yes.
That piece of fucked with cod, I'm going to be right there with my camera. I'm going to hashtag it. Mm. Golden Corral. Have a little bit of first world anarchy and get people to come back and say, we can't eat here because they have syringes in the food.
Okay. So, a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. Cameras. They're going to spot you doing this. Mm. Isn't that going to come back to haunt you? And they're going to be absolved? And they're going to be able to play the story that... I guess they're big food. Small food is trying to keep big food down.
Yeah.
Artificially.
I think that's a really good question. Like, how do I insert this? And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the piece of fish and I'm going to put it in my pocket.
Your trench coat pocket.
Yes. And I'm going to go
Todd wearing a trench coat for this episode only, which is interesting.
Yes. And I'm going to, in the bathroom, take the piece of cod out.
Ah.
Because they don't have cameras in the bathroom.
No, they can't legally.
That's like a violation of some kind of rights. And I'm going to put the syringe in, and then I'm going to quietly walk back in and drop.
And just put it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
no one's going to ever notice you doing that.
Or I could swap it on somebody's plate. I see somebody eating the cod, and then I do a bit where I go, look that way.
Oh, you do a whole number.
Yeah, because they got TVs in there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, look over that way. There's a Honey Boo Boo marathon going on.
And they look over.
Look over.
Because they're stupid because they eat at buffets.
Yes, and then I'm going to swap out the fish.
Got it.
And then the guy's going to go, holy fuck, I got a syringe in my cod at the Golden Corral off of Lakewood Boulevard.
Hashtag freedom, hashtag Golden Corral, hashtag justice.
So that's how I'm going to undermine them, using a little bit of first world anarchy. And then it goes out on Twitter, they shut the doors, and then I'm good.
So this is an isolated thing. This is a purely self-serving mission that you've undertaken.
Yeah.
To bring about a little first world anarchy at the Golden Corral in Lakewood.
Yeah.
Down the street.
Yeah.
From your current house.
Yeah.
Soon to be former home.
By the time the show airs.
Yes. I
will not live here anymore.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. By the time I'm, you know, no longer here and I'm at the Golden Corral eating dinner, you won't live here. It's very soon you're moving.
Yeah.
Could be any second now.
Mm-hmm.
But you still want to inflict this damage upon Lakewood.
Yeah. I'm done with the drive. And I don't like what they're doing to the other stores around there, other good Italian places where people aren't eating because they're stuffing their face at the Golden Corral.
Do you understand that if everyone were to take the stance that you've taken, that you could essentially bring about the end of first world civilization?
Yes. I think that there are probably...
Just so casually, yes.
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 I think there are about 10 steps that everybody can take, because I've got to the point in life where I just want to watch the world burn.
Like the Joker.
Yes. And so I was asking you, Mark.
Yes.
If you wanted to take down certain things...
Mm.
Which we all have the power to do in our own small way if we stop being sheeple.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, sheeple.
Yeah.
I have a big problem with sheeple.
If we stopped abiding by sheepleness,
mm-hmm.
we could take down everything. Mm. Is there anything that you've seen in your life that you would like to take down just through a random act of first world anarchy?
So, I've thought about this a lot. I've thought about it on a small scale, things I could do myself. People that know me well
mm-hmm.
know that I fancy myself a leader.
Oh, okay.
You can tell.
I know you well, but this is the first time I've ever gotten a Mark Chambers leader.
You've never fancied me a leader.
No.
That's because I'm such a good leader.
I mean, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. As a first world anarchist, we don't need leaders.
No. So
we'd like to take all of you down.
I appreciate the pureness of the anarchy you're describing, but I like to think that for anarchy to come about... There's going to be, in such a structured society, there's going to be a need for some people to lead the anarchy, as crazy as and anti-anarchy as that sounds.
So you sound like a Tyler Durden type.
Yes. So I feel that there are certain groups we can motivate who feel the need for exactly what you're describing.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know that I necessarily condone this mm-hmm. because I'm terrified of the world that it will lead to.
Yeah,
it's some kind of Children of Men situation where suddenly no one's giving birth anymore,
yeah.
and I'm in some really, some 20-minute long one-camera tracking shot in London.
But do you agree that the world and civilized society rest on such a precarious perch?
You absolutely could.
It can be easily toppled over through a couple organized actions.
So I've thought about this. So I've thought, what could I accomplish? So you're saying you want to bring down a golden corral by putting a syringe into the fish.
Yeah.
What if you connected an underground organization of golden corral busboys to do that simultaneously at all the golden corral locations around the United States?
I'd have to pay all of them, I imagine.
Or appeal to their sensibilities. Mm. These are not the kind of people that have a tremendous amount of faith and respect for the Golden Corral Company.
Yes.
They're being paid very little.
Yeah.
They have an axe to grind against those people that undervalue their skills.
Mm.
And you're a very charismatic man.
I try to be.
With your fisherman's hat and your t-shirt with Richard Simmons on it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pull off his hairstyle, by the way. If you look at that shirt versus my hair.
Little mild fro. You don't quite have the curls to get up there.
I got
to flop. You flop. You don't rise.
I flop. I got to work on it. You know what? We all flop before we rise, Todd.
No, I do neither. I don't grow hair on my head is what I do.
I would like to, for example, organize. I've always wondered what would happen if one day all the Starbucks in the United States, or even in Midtown Manhattan,
started selling booze?
The baristas all decided to quietly pour decaf for everyone.
America would stop.
Exactly.
Europe would stop.
Everything would stop. Quietly.
But you wouldn't realize why it stopped.
No.
Because I've had decaf before.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I'm like, did I just not get enough sleep last night?
What happened?
Yeah.
What if we did it 5 days in a row? What if every coffee shop stopped serving caffeine but didn't tell anyone?
That's a world I don't want to live in.
This is the linchpin of modern society without anyone realizing it.
Yeah, because you can't taste the caffeine.
No.
I've never had a decaf and I've tasted it. I'm like, oh, I'm fine. I'm just not getting the buzz. I don't know where it's coming from. Like, you have a non-alcoholic beer and you can taste like there's no alcohol in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can tell. The caffeine, they put some stuff in the decaf, like it still has like a tinge to it, especially at Starbucks, got that burnt beans flavor,
mm-hmm.
and like then that. Everyone just goes off into the world, just they're kind of dragging, And then the next, you know, and by 2 p.m., they're all getting headaches and they're struggling.
Like, I've never gone through a day without caffeine in the last 15 years of my life.
You can't.
I don't know what would happen if I didn't have it.
You would get an intense migraine-like headache. You would be incredibly groggy. And this would last unless you got caffeine from other sources, which you could and likely would. But if you didn't, per se, that those symptoms would go on for almost a month.
Yeah.
It'd be awful. Yeah. And that's just... That's this one little class of people that could be easily motivated. Just say, hey, everyone today, pour them decaf. Go take off the orange tab on the coffee thing. Don't let anyone know what you're doing.
And you would undermine all of society.
You really could, at least for a couple of days. Just slow things down.
I was thinking on a more local scale for Los Angeles.
Mm.
And parts of Arizona. Everybody, when you get to Los Angeles, everybody talks about In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Everybody loves In-N-Out. Everybody talks about how In-N-Out is the greatest burger of all time.
Interesting.
But have you ever taken an In-N-Out cup?
Yeah.
Look on the bottom.
Yeah.
There's a Bible verse.
Right.
This is John 3:16.
They're very religious. Not as religious as Chick-fil-A.
No. Chick-fil-A takes it a step further.
Yes, they oppress actively.
Yeah. There was a thing where I think it was Mike Lynch that used to work for a radio show that we used to work for at the station. Had a great tweet and said, I'm going to keep eating at In-N-Out till they do some crazy Chick-fil-A shit.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to keep going because there will be the moment because of the rampant religiosity they put on the bottom of the cup.
Religiosity, yeah.
I thought, what if... Through the aid of Photoshop, you took the bottom of an In-N-Out cup and you just added a verse from the Quran instead of the Bible. So normally you're eating your In-N-Out, you're having your pink lemonade, and you look and you turn over, John 3:16, beautiful.
Yeah, that's
God
great.
So loved the world, he did some shit and some stuff. And so you look at that. What if you turn it over and there was a verse from the Quran? And I found the perfect verse from the Quran to put on there.
Hmm.
This is when the show gets really edgy. All the stuff we've talked about, actually, this is the thing that's going to get us killed. But it was like, I found a verse from the Quran. It's like, as to those who reject faith, I will punish them with terrible agony in this world and in the hereafter, nor will they have anyone to help.
Wow. What if you
just put that on the bottom?
On the bottom of every In-N-Out drink cup.
Yeah.
At a one location.
And then you just... Snapped a little photo. No. You don't even actually put that. You just Photoshop it.
You just put it out there on Twitter.
And just throw it on Twitter, throw it on the Facebook, and see how all of America, even people who haven't had the joy of the In-N-Out.
So you're saying this first world anarchy, I'm thinking I have to organize these grand scale things. But your point is, you don't really have to with the advent of Twitter and Instagram.
One little small thing can change everything.
One little small thing.
And that just tells you how, as a society, the small little precipice we all stand on in civilization can crumble.
So, how far can I go? So, can I get a very convincing, replica and Instagram a photo that says, I shouldn't expect anything less from Hollywood, and it's a... star on the Hollywood Boulevard with the little light, because they always have the little symbol on them of why they got the star. Yeah. Like, is it music or
radio,
yeah, whatever. You have one that like points out that they're like art, some kind of generic art, and it's for Adolf Hitler.
Okay.
And you just put that out, you're like, I shouldn't have expected anything differently of Hollywood.
Right.
Like, are people going to immediately know that that's fake? Like, how far can you go?
So it's on the Walk of Fame. You have that star, and people are just like, they're going to the wax museum, and they're just walking over it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would walk over it, and they'd see Adolf Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
They'd see his name there.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'd see a little...
he paid his $20,000. He gets a star.
Right. Yeah. I think a lot of people would stop and go, he was a very good orator. And then they just keep moving.
It's just a little microphone. This is Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Well, he also had the speeches, but he also had a top 40 show in Germany
Yeah.
before he was Führer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of
people would just totally find that normal.
Yeah, no, I don't think it would actually turn down civilization. Like, people would just go, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, that
really makes you think.
And it's like next one's like Casey Kasem. Like, I get that. Hitler.
People have similar problems with him.
Yeah, so you just have like a radio star, like, you know, Hitler big on the radio in Germany.
He was huge on the radio.
Yeah.
Everybody listened to his stuff on the radio.
No, I think we just walked by it.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, so too shocky, not going to work.
Yeah.
Got to be somewhere in the middle.
You got to hit people in a weird, like as Hitler said, people will believe the biggest lie you tell them.
Sure.
That was Hitler's thing. Like, if I really bullshit people, they'll be into it.
Just go super big.
That is too subtle. You can't bring down society. My other thing about taking down society is if, you know, every time you go to the 7-Eleven, they have the leave a penny, take a penny.
Yeah.
The honor system.
Yeah.
You could destroy the honor system by just walking and just taking all the pennies.
Taking all the pennies?
Yeah, just go, Like, I walk in there to buy, like, you know, buy my six-pack of Bud Light Platinum, and there's, like, seven pennies right there, and I
just take them all.
And I look eye to eye with the guy working there, and I just go,
and just suck them all up.
That slurping sound of the pennies coming out.
So is your goal to get him to tweet or post on Reddit that a guy just came in and took all the pennies?
No. I tweet it out and I tell everyone, just take the pennies.
Just take the pennies.
And then
no one's going to stop you. I took them and no one stopped me.
Yeah. Everyone loses faith in the honor system. Because lots of the world is based on the honor system.
You're just like, everyone's just like, I just don't.
I will tell everybody, get what's yours.
Oh, God.
Everybody take what's yours.
But they're not, that's not theirs. But they think it's theirs. Because you've told them it's not theirs.
What's yours and not yours is just your fucking conception in your head.
That's your choice you're making.
You choose to constrict yourself to believing that leave a penny, take a penny thing is other people's and yours.
So
in my revolution, it's yours.
So once I see that and I see no one stopping you from just taking the pennies, then I could potentially go to, say, the Golden Corral and not pay and just take a bunch of pork chops.
Well, I mean, they have a guy outside. They have a security.
Oh, he'll stop you?
He will fuck you the fuck out.
But what if I rise up against him?
He will beat your ass.
Okay. So yeah. I can't. So again, too direct.
No.
What too on the nose.
What you got to do is to stop the Golden Corral. And in other ways, you got to find some big people with a big appetite.
Mm.
And you bring them there around noon.
To take what's theirs?
And they take what's theirs and they just... eat.
They just eat the whole place out of food.
Or if you have like a window outside, just throw the food out the window.
Mm.
And just like, nope, out.
So I pay my money and I go into Golden Corral and I liberate the food for the people.
Yeah.
So I bring around anarchy by way of leveling the playing field.
Yes.
I want the fat to get fatter regardless of how much money they have.
Yes. Yes,
because
yes.
They don't just have needs, they have wants.
Yeah.
And society is artificially limiting the fulfillment of those wants because they don't have enough of these green pieces of paper that we place so much value in arbitrarily.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go liberate all the buffet food.
Because all those green pieces of paper are based on random guidelines set forth by the Fed.
Mm. I think I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
So what we've got here is we've got Golden Corral.
Yeah.
As an example, being able to supply a seemingly unlimited amount of free food to whomever can pay for it. But in the first world, the amount of money they're charging, it's essentially free.
Yeah.
I have unlimited access to free food. But for the privileged like myself, I pay my money and I get access to that.
What happens if that gets undermined?
If I can undermine that and begin distributing that to the people, and I stand up and say, no longer will unlimited pork chops be the domain of the super rich in the world. The third world and the second world, I don't know what that is, but the third world at least will have access to these unlimited pork chops through my abuse of my first world privileges.
But once you undermine that, the purveyors of the first world privilege, you know, the owner of Golden Corral, he can no longer provide for all.
That all collapses.
From the top down. It pancakes.
Yeah, it's just... like the whole... like, just imagine a building with all the walls getting blown out and the whole thing just collapses down on itself because you took it upon yourself to distribute those free pork chops, unlimited free pork chops to the world.
Have you ever seen the video of World Trade Center 7? I'm just leaving it at that. So all of capitalism in America, in the first world, it all...
Yeah, just falls to the ground.
The second world, which is the former communist areas of like Russia,
sure,
the Ukraine, those pancake down in response. Now, the third world, who was burgeoning, coming up, places like India, all those guys in the call centers, no job.
Just gone.
That's all gone. We are reduced to this kind of feral existence for all of humanity.
Basically, what you're going to do is through these minor acts of first world anarchy, just through abusing the buffet system at a Golden Corral,
through abusing the leave a penny, take a penny,
just taking all the pennies and daring the world to stop you, through your flagrant violation of the bond between coffee orderer and barista, and giving them things they did not order, and sending 13 million sleepy Los Angelinos to their jobs uncaffeinated. Through these minor acts, you could, in essence, bring down all of civilization.
People didn't realize the power that they had in keeping these systems in place till now.
That's right. They were a part of a system, and it was so... enveloping them that they couldn't see that the system existed in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what happens to the last people?
What would happen to the last people? What would happen to a humanity that was so crippled and vulnerable?
They'd have to leave the planet.
They would have to leave the planet.
The year is 22,050. The Earth lies in ruin after decades of assault from the evil Dynex Empire, hell-bent on expanding their territory into our solar system. Only 400 people remain, chased off of the Earth aboard humanity's last starship. That ship, the mighty Odessa Star, is now tasked with a new mission: keep hope alive. And on that ship, among those 400 brave souls, are two men who take it upon themselves to entertain, to chronicle, to inform, to offer hope to this last kernel of civilization. They are the last talk show ever.
Good morning, Odessa Star!
It's 14 minutes past the hour. We are, of course, still talking about last night's attack, unless you have been hiding in your bunk all morning, which I would actually recommend. You're well aware the aft section of the ship was attacked last night by the Dynex Empire.
Ouch. Yeah, so, Mark, how bad is it out there? Have they gotten back there to check it out yet?
Yeah, you know, they finally did. It's not great. It's pretty bad. A lot of exposed wires, a lot of bulkheads lying around, a couple of bodies lying around. It's a really bad scene out there.
So, Mark, here's what I hear when I hear that. That's what I'm hearing, big, fat, juicy repair bills.
Okay, you know, it's not going to be a cheap fix. I will give you that. We have not been able to estimate what we think the damage is going to be. The last time this happened, it was around a couple million bucks, so it's safe to say it's going to be around that again. I don't want to jump to that conclusion, but, you know.
Is that space bucks?
Nobody says space bucks.
And here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that sounds interesting to me. It just seems interesting. And they're alleging it was the Dynex Empire. But of course, any footage we might have from the rear cameras would have been destroyed in that attack, right?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yes, yes, the footage would have been destroyed in the attack. Can you build an attack-proof camera to mount back there?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Jesus, it's not a perfect system, okay?
It's just interesting that we really have no way of knowing for sure it was the Dynex ship that attacked, right? We just assume. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Yes, we assume. We assume that it was the Dynex Empire, okay? We do assume that. Because it's always them, because they're the ones that attack us. They're the ones that drove us off the planet. God, this is so infuriating. We just took a fucking...
I'm saying, who's going to get called upon to pay for this? Who's the governor of the aft section going to ask for help? He's going to call the ship's commander, right? And then he's going to say they can't pay for it themselves. He's going to make sure that the money comes out of the ship-wide disaster fund.
You have got to be kidding me with this. It's a ship-wide disaster. The aft section of the ship is still the ship, Todd.
And all I'm saying is the repair crews, they're blue-collar dudes, right? Where do the blue-collar kinds of dudes live? In the aft section of the ship. And that's right where the money goes, to the repair crews.
You know, forgive me if I'm a little taken aback by your implications, sir.
And it just seems a little convenient that once again we have no way of knowing what really happened. And once again, it's the aft sections that are damaged. The forward sections, fine. The mezzanine levels, fine. The crystal dome, fine.
Okay.
It's just this aft section right here. Great radio, gesturing on a map. But yeah. What are we supposed to believe, that they're always just sneaking up exactly behind us? So in this vast, infinite, three-dimensional space, it's like an old Tom and Jerry cartoon?
Okay, oh no, okay. I think you've heard enough of what we have to say.
I'm just saying it's interesting.
You know, let's open it up to the squawk boxes and hear what the rest of you think. Odessa Star, punch in #774 on your squawk box, and you're going to get right on. The panel's lit up. It's been lit solid. We're gonna go to some right now. Caller, you're patched in with Mark and Todd.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Todd. Huge fan of you guys. Listen, I live in the forward section, and I don't get why my taxes got to pay every time something goes wrong back in the aft section. I ain't never been back there, you know?
Sir, due respect. Just because you've never been back there, I mean, the navigational computers are in the aft section, the main data lines are...
Listen, I don't care if it's some fume-huffing aft section punk setting off an IED, or if it really is a Dynex Empire. I woke up, I'm sitting here, having my rations just fine. I say they can pay their own way, and if they can't, tough.
Interesting point.
Okay, we have to remember that two people lost their lives in this attack, which puts us down to 398 people as of this morning. So we finally dropped below that 400 barrier that we've been so desperate to stay at or above. A bit of sensitivity, maybe. Maybe called for.
But hey, Mr. Chambers, you know what we got to say about that?
I'm afraid I do, Mr. Perry.
More food for the rest of us. Show one is over, and what have we learned? Mark and Todd just want to watch the whole world burn. Farewell, then, we say, and thanks for listening to the original Kings of Podcasting. Tiki, to my legs.
I'm yawning to the hole in the guitar. Setting it on fire. Set it on fire. Yeah.
Yeah, hit me, asshole. High note. Yeah.
Dog's barking.